So today is the
today is the 10th
of September. That is the 10th of Elul. And we are in the beginning of Parashas Maaseh. So the first parak is 57 psukim, but yet I intend on condensing both Rashi and Mefarshim Day into one shir, despite the fact that Bruce, or perhaps because Bruce is doubting us, we're going to attempt to do it. So the parsha begins, Elam Isiyei B'nei Yisrael Asher Yatsum Eretz Mitzrayim L'tziv L'tzom. So these are the journeys that B'nei Yisrael took when they left Mitzrayim by their hosts. I'm not sure there's a great translation of that. B'yad Moshe V'Aharon, by way of Moshe and Aharon. So there's a very famous Rashi in the beginning where he says, Lama Nichtu Amasos Eilu, why are we recording? It's going to record all of their stops. So why do we have to record them? So he gives two answers to this. L'hudiya, Chasadav shel makom she'afal pi shegazar aleihem l'taltal l'aniyam b'midbar lo tomer shayu noyim mitutalim mimasa l'masa kol arba'im shana. That even though he ruled that they had to wander in the desert, he didn't say that they're going to be wandering for all 40 years. They're just v'lo yisalehem and not going to have any rest. Right there, plus because we see from here there are only 42 stops. Then you remove 14 because they were in the first year, and you remove 8 because they were all in the last year, because we know where they were when the Meraglim left, and we know where they were when Aaron passed away in the last year. So you put that together, so there are only about 20-something stops there are 20 stops during the 38 years. So 20 stops during 38 years, that's not so bad. That's okay. You can move that amount of time. So that was answer number one. There were 14 before and 8 after.
I thought there was 42 stops.
Yeah, altogether. Right. But there were 14 were in the first year and 8 were in the last year. So that leaves 20. So over 38 years, there were only 20 stops. Right? So that's answer number one. That's from Rav Moshe Darshan. And then Rav Tanchuma explains a little bit different. Like a king that his son was sick and he took him to a faraway place where he got healed. So as they return, so the father points to all the places where they stopped. There we slept, there we warmed up, or there we were cold. Right, there we were cold, and hopefully he gets warmed up. And Kan Chashasha says, Roshacha, here we can concerned about you weren't feeling well. Right, so you go back and see those things that were overcome and that were accomplished. So those are two different answers that Rashi gives. There's a couple other answers that are talked about as to what the reason was for here. The Sfarnu just says, to build up the schusim for B'nai Yisrael, that we see they were able to go into a desert, La'eretz lo zerua, which perhaps is one of the greatest, you know, to take a couple million people into the desert, who knows how they're going to survive. So the fact that they were all willing to go in, so that gives them a leg up. Elora Chaim starts getting into the nitzotzos, that by traveling around they were uncovering the various sparks that they need to uncover along the way. What?
Various
sparks. Nitzotzos.
The breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs? Was that from a different shear? Yeah, that's what the Or HaChaim says. And then there's the Ramban. So the Ramban actually doesn't really give his own pshat so much as he quotes the Mor Nevuchim. He quotes Rashi, and then quotes the Mor Nevuchim here. That the Ramban says, to Elis B'Yediasam, that the purpose of their knowing this was, L'haskim Masayim Gadol Ma'od, Ki Anisim Va'osos Anasos Hayo Amisis L'chol Roeihem, Ach Va'asid Yudavar Mishmua Vayach Zivim Hashomeya. That while the things, the miracles that they experienced were true to all those that saw them, in the future there would be people that were only basing on what they heard. But you think about the amazing miracle. This is like the most amazing miracle. They spent 40 years in the desert, and they got mud every year. And they weren't. It wasn't like they were hanging out near the cities. They weren't going to Al-Arish. Is that the place down there? The resort place down there. Right, they weren't hanging out by these resort towns. They were, rather, they were in the middle of nowhere. And yet they were able to have enough things to be able to survive. So that is the recollection. We space it out. The Ramban is quoting the Rambam. The Rambam says that we point out all of these stops to demonstrate that A, they were in the middle of nowhere, and B, they sustained themselves for all these years in the desert. And he concludes by saying,
that
Kol Eludvar. All this is assumed by, that's what the Rambam says, that the people in future generations will look back and recognize how great a miracle it was. And yeah, okay, fine. So that is the Rambam. So then we continue. So Moshe wrote about their goings and their comings. These are their goings. And then it says, Vayisum Ramses, they left Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day, after the day after Pesach. It wasn't really the day after Pesach, it was the first day of Pesach. They went with a strong arm, or led in the eyes of all the Egyptians. But meanwhile, the Egyptians were busy burying their dead that Hashem had killed all of the firstborn. So Rashi here jumps in and says, well, taru them vavlam, that they were involved in their avelus. What? Sharm el-Sheikh, that's what we're thinking about. They were involved in their avelus. Why? That seems like a little bit of an odd thing to point out now. So saying, no, that how is it that all these Jews were able to leave and their masters weren't going to stop them? Well, their masters were involved in their mourning at that time. Yeah. By the way, why? And then it says, when you turn to the coming, it's called Asher Yikah, Hashem Lecham Olcham, Rechay Masar, Hashem Shvatin. So, Vayisu B'nei Yisrael Miram Seis, Ve'achnu B'sukos, Vayisu B'nei Sukos, Ve'achnu B'nei Yisam, Asher B'ksei HaMidbar. So, by the way, just so we note, the Sforno talks about, why does it talk about where they left as well as where they came? Because all of those were difficult. It was difficult to travel. It was difficult, and once you were settled, it was difficult to leave. So, both of those get their own recognition in the Pesukim. Then it gives this list. They left Sukkos. They got to Eitam. Vayisum Eitam. Vayishal Piachirus. Vayishal Pnei Tzafon. Vayachnu Lifnei Migdol. Vayisum Lifnei Achirus. Vayivru Besoch Hayam Biyab Hamidbara. Vayalchu Derech Shloshim Yimibara Eitam Yachnu Bamara. Vayisum Yimara Vivu Elima. And some of these names are familiar at this point. He says they got to the Yamsuf in Pasuk Yud. And then it goes on the continued list of their times when they were actually in the Midbar itself, which is not really recorded. What happened during the time is not really recorded in the Torah.
Until now.
And then it gets to the death of Aaron. Pasuk Lamed Ches, Vayal Aaron Akon El Hor Har Al Pi Hashem Vayomas Sham. Based on the word of Hashem, and he died there. Rashi makes the comment here, Melamish Mes Benishika. We learn from here that he died by the kiss. How do we see that in the pasuk? Because it says Al Pi Hashem. He went Al Pi Hashem and died there. Based on from the kiss of Hashem, that's where he passed away. And that was in the 40th year. Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim Bachodesh Hachamishi Bechad Lachodesh. In the fifth month, on the first day of the month. It's interesting, we don't have too many Yahrzeits. That's the fifth month. What's the fifth month? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Av, Rosh Chodesh Av, is the Yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. So you'll, if you get emails from enough Jewish sites, on the first day of Av, you'll get a notice, a reminder that it's Aaron HaKohen's Yahrzeit. What?
Tells us every year, this is the
Yahrzeit. Ah! Yes, it is. Right, but I think it might be the only one that's mentioned in the Torah itself, of the actual date of the death. All right. Bruce says, interesting. Okay, so Pasuk Ben, Vayishma HaKnani Melech Harad Behu Yoshev B'Negev Ve'eretz Kanan B'Vo B'nei Yisrael. So the Kanani king heard that he was living in the land of Canaan, that B'nei Yisrael was coming. Now, the truth is, if you go back to Parshas Chukas after the death of Aaron, what does it say that the Knani Melech Arad, when he heard that Aaron had passed away, what does it say he did? It says he came and attacked the Jewish people. All right, for some reason, that's left out here. Why is that? So, I don't know why that's left out, but at least Rashi comments. What?
Rashi mentions it.
Rashi mentions what?
He came to battle with Israel.
I don't see where you see that.
To teach that the death of Aaron is what he heard.
Right.
The cause of glory departed.
Right.
And he.
Oh, that he's been given permission to fight with the Jews. Yeah.
Israel.
Right. Where did he get. Right. So that's mentioned explicitly in Parshas Chukas. Why is that part not mentioned here? So perhaps. Where was it? It could be to sort of praise the Jewish people that they were willing to continue onwards despite the fact that they had lost their Anani Akavod, at least for a short time. Saw that, I'm not sure where I saw it. Oh, there it is, in the Sforno. The Sforno says, Gam zes chus lahem. This is also a merit to them. Kilo amru ba'avosam nasnu rosh, Gam berosam b'mulchava, aval nadru neder l'Hashem v'shamo. They didn't say that we're losing our head. Gam berosam b'mulchava, even in the face of war, I mean, they were willing to continue on despite those challenges. So why does it not mention that they came in war? That wasn't the issue. The issue was that they continued on despite the fact that they had lost their Nani Akavod. It gives a couple of other places that they were. And then they got to the Arvos Moab. They got to Pasuk Mentes by Chenu Al Yarden Mibes Hayishim. Well, actually, in Pasuk Memches 48 by Sumei Arei Avarim by Chenu Arvos Moab Al Yarden Yericho by the Jordan by Yericho. So remember, we discussed this a couple of months ago, right after I got back from Eretz Yisrael, because I never realized this. Where is Yericho? Yericho is relative to the Yam HaMelech. Very close to the Yam HaMelech. But it's close to the top of the Yam HaMelech. It's close to the most northern part of the Yam HaMelech. Yeah. So we often think about, if you look at a map of...
Across the Yarden, right? I thought it was where you crossed the Jordan, not far north of...
Right. I always thought that as well. But that's not the case. That actually is, that's what was, when I never know it until we went to Israel. So there is a place down there, right? If you go towards Yericho, you can't go into Yericho, but you go near Yericho, there is a whole bunch of army bases over there, but there is a place, a major tourist attraction called
Yericho.
I forgot what it's called in, it's called the Jesus baptismal site, and it's supposedly the place where Jesus was baptized by Paul. I think that makes sense. Yeah.
No.
Oh, John. He was baptized by John. Yeah, John the Baptist, right?
Yeah. He's Yerkes by
Tiberius. Did he become Paul?
What?
Yeah.
Saul became Paul. Paul became Saul.
Right. So it's John. John who was killed. John, I think, was killed by the Romans, I think even before Jesus was killed. So, but that happened over there. That happened down south, just north of the place, and there's a major tourist. There's a whole bunch of churches there, which none of them are used, and a bunch of them are bombed out, because during the period of time from 48 to 67, that was a place where the Jordanians would cross over to try to sneak into Israel. So there's a whole bunch of, there's mines there, all sorts of stuff in order to keep them out. But there is a site there where you can go to the Jordan River, and our tour guide took us there. Now, he took, why am I taking you to the Jesus baptismal site? Because this is probably the place where, if it's not right here, it's right around here, where Bnei Israel crossed the Yarden. Right? We often think about it being very far north, but it's not very far north. Right? How far did they go? Remember, they said to Edom, Derech HaMelech Nelech. We want to go on the Derech HaMelech. And he said, no, you got to go around. But the Edom, the Derech HaMelech, is pretty much going up parallel to... I always thought Derech HaMelech was going east to west. No, Derech HaMelech goes south to north, or both north to south and south to north, along the Yam HaMelech on the Jordanian side. So that's what they wanted to do, and they weren't allowed to do it. But eventually they went around and came and crossed within 10 miles of the top of the Yam HaMelech is where they crossed. In fact, it takes up a significant amount of space. That's what Rashi says here. That they, Vayisumi Harei Avrim, Vayichnu Barvos Harei Den Yerecho, Vayachanu Al Yardeni Beis HaYishimos, that they resided on the Jordan, the Beis HaYishimos, right? Ad Avel Shittim Barvos Moav. How far is that? Says Rashi, it was 12 mil. Right, the camp of the Jewish people, as they camped along the Jordan River on the east bank of the Jordan River, was a 12-mil long encampment, which is about 9 miles. Right, which sounds like a lot, but then you think about how many people there were. It's not so much. Yeah, there were a lot of people. Okay, so that brings us...
Jericho.
Okay. So that was the list of places. Now just to finish up. So now we say, Vayidbar Hashem l'Moshe b'Arvos Moav, Vayiten Yericho l'Emor. So Hashem now speaks to Moshe here by the on the plains of Moav. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta elhem, ki atem ovrim es ha'yarden el Eretz Kanan. You're about to go across the Jordan and go into Eretz Yisrael. V'orashtem es kol yoshvei aretz mifnechem. You're going to conquer all the land there. V'yibadetem es kol maskiyosan. and you're going to have to destroy all of the figured stones. It's called Salmei Masechu Sam Te'abedu, and all of the molten images you will destroy. It's called Bamos Sam Tashmidu, and all of their bamos you will have to destroy as well. Bo Rashim Es Aris V'Shaftem Mas, then you will conquer the land and you will reside there. Ki Lachem Nasati Es Aris L'Reshus Sam, because to you I gave the land to reside in. So Rashi, the Ramban, makes the point that he says, Al Dati Zu Mitzvos Asehi. This is the Mitzvos Aseh. That you're commanded to reside in the land and inherit it because it's given to you, and you shouldn't push away the Nachlas Hashem. And if you think that you're going to go and conquer some other land, Yavru al Mitzvos Hashem, you are violating the Mitzvah Hashem. So in the footnote in the Shevel Ramban, he points out that this is the Ramban spot in this commentary on the Torah. It might be other spots as well, but he is recording the Mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. Now, it's not such a simple thing to say that there's such a thing as the Mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, because there's a very famous... He is the first of the counters of Mitzvahs to include Yishuv Haaretz Yisrael, conquering and settling the land, as being one of the 613 mitzvahs, right, which famously excludes the Rambam. The Rambam does not include it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, and that's a huge tumult. One possibility, I guess, for Halacha Day would be that machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Another possibility, and you can tell me which one you'd prefer to do, that is also in that pasuk that we just read, to destroy the maskiyosam. What are the maskiyosam? So Rashi says that these were the stones that they used to pave the ground, which they used to bow on. And it's based on this that I assume, I didn't actually look yet, but I assume that it's based on this that there's an issue of bowing on stone floors, which of course is relevant to some of our days coming up. So you can let me know, what do you want to do for Halacha Day on Thursday, I guess? Do we want to talk about the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz or the prohibition of bowing on stone floors? Still have a few minutes left. So you're going to conquer them. V'snachal tem es aretz v'gorah. So then you're going to v'snachal tem. You'll inherit the land by way of a gorah l'mishpachoseim, according to your families. L'rav tavu esnachal esov l'mat tami esnachal. So according to the many people will get a lot of land, and the smaller people will get a small amount of land, which of course raises all sorts of questions. But if you're picking it out by lottery, how are you going to figure out how are you going to make it so that the large get large amounts of land and the small people get small amounts of land? What?
What's the difference between a poor and a corral? Like Purim?
Yeah, I think it might be this. Well, he killed poor. Hu ha goral ifnei haman. I think the poor might be Aramaic, but I'm not sure. Because it's weird to put both of them in the same pasuk. But it says it is the same thing in the pasuk, so yeah. So then you're going to take this goral, but yeah, figuring out how you're going to get everybody in the right land by way of a goral when they're different, when the size of the land are different, so that is subject to massive dispute. Those that came to our Yehoshua Shir, remember that we spent a significant amount of time figuring that out. So v'imlo sorishu es yoshvei aris, if you don't get rid of them, though v'fneichem hayashu tosiru mehem l'sikim b'neichem, they'll be to you like thorns in your eyes, and like and ulsinim b'tzedehem, and like, what did I write here? Picks?
Pricks.
There you go. Pricks in your side. Vitzaru eschem, they're going to drive you crazy. Ala arta shir atem yoshimba, on the land which you would like to reside in. Vayaka shir dimisi lasos lahem eselahem, and that which you... that which I'm telling you to do to them, that is what you should do to them, despite the fact that the United Nations and the New York Times and Bruce Greif are all going to get very upset with you for doing it. Trust us, that's what Hashem is commanding us to do. One could take a look in the in Telushkin's book on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he discusses that the one time he went to have a yechidah, he personally went to have this meeting with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He went with his father and someone else, and it was right after the Six Day War. And he writes, I'm very hesitant saying this because it wasn't Yiddish, and I don't really understand Yiddish very well, but it's also, I was personally there. There's only a story in the book that I was personally there for, where the Rebbe said that that the Israeli army made a huge mistake by not kicking all the Arabs out. Hmm. He said that they had their chance. Everyone would have understood. These people are trying to kill you, so you should just get rid of them. The people would have understood, and they missed that opportunity. But yet, nevertheless, this still does obviously raise questions of what's going on here. How are we going to destroy, kill all these people? So that is an issue which perhaps we'll discuss at some point. Yeah, so what was that opportunity is a good, it's unclear. But yeah, there was an opportunity, but it might have been before they even went into the land. Gotta figure that out. Okay, and we did it.
You're not even out of breath.